We are glad to make all of our JCast Network podcasts free for our listeners. However, they are not free to produce and host. Please consider making a donation to JCast Network to help support our work by visiting jcastnetwork.org/donate. Thanks.
Welcome to the Jewish Hour. I'm your host, Herschel Finman. We've got a wonderful show for you today. In this half hour of the show, we'll be talking with Rabbi Avram Plotkin. He's a shliach in Markham, Ontario, Canada. He's written a book called Seven Conversations with Jerry, a book about the human soul, bereavement, and afterlife. Second half of the show, we'll be analyzing the Parsha, which this week is the portion of Bo. There's lots of really good stories in this one, and we can have some nice insights there. A great story all the way at the end. And music, of course. We've got Rabbi Plotkin on the line already, so let's go straight to him. We're talking about his new book, Seven Conversations with Jerry. How are you, Avram?
Baruch Hashem. Thank God. I'm doing well. How are you?
Good. Thank God. Thank God. Okay, so I have lots of questions for you. Okay, so the first one I have, when we have books like this, it's a book about the human soul, bereavement, and the afterlife. There have been other books, Avram Plotkin, that have dealt with this subject. What's unique about Seven Conversations with Jerry that it needed to be written?
Well, I found, I'm a rabbi for over 30 years, shliach, in Toronto, Markham, Ontario. And I found over the years, visiting people who are dealing with bereavement, who are, going through great challenges. They lost a loved one, a loved parent, a father, a mother, sibling, a spouse, maybe even a child. And lots of books written. There are numerous books written to help people with what you're supposed to do. This book, it gives you like a roadmap. It helps a person that's going through mourning, or any person, about what happens, where does the soul come from, where does it go to, what happens to the soul after it dies, is there an afterlife, can I reconnect with my parent, what can I do to help my parent in their journey in the afterlife, and finally, what kind of a legacy, meaningful legacy, can I make for them? And these are issues that many people deal with. They deal with the suffering. Why did my parents suffer so much? There are many of these questions, and I formatted it in a book, a story-like book, a novel, where the rabbi has seven conversations with one of his congregants, and he discusses all these subjects. So it's written in a very engaging way, and a way that people can read, but it's also a subject that's, I believe, badly needed, especially in the Jewish community. It's very much lacking. There's a lot talk about what you're supposed to do and what you're not supposed to do, but not much of what goes on the mystical level.
Okay, so it's written as a dialogue between you and somebody by the name of Jerry. Is Jerry a fictitious person? Was there really a person named Jerry? Are these based on actual conversations?
Well, the whole story is a fiction story. Even the rabbi is not me in the story. It's a rabbi that lives in Ottawa. And but most of the episodes that are in there is based on my experiences as a rabbi. And Jerry is my is a congregant who's very wealthy, and he loses his father, who's a Holocaust survivor, and he has this sort of guilty feeling with his father, because they break up at the end of his father's life, and Jerry feels very guilty. So Jerry really is a concoction, he's a conglomerate of many different characters that I've experienced, come across throughout the years. And I've taken all the issues that people have had with death and brought them all together into this one character named Jerry, and this one rabbi. And it all comes together in these seven conversations with Jerry.
Okay, understood then. The ideas that came about were these things that, like, for example, we're just in touch with people throughout the years, Avram Plotkin.
Come again with a question. I couldn't really hear it very well.
I just want to know, so the actual conversations as you have them written down, they actually did occur, or they're kind of loosely just based on it, and these are more ideas that are from books?
Well, they're loosely based on experiences that, you know, I have had, or most rabbis, or most people who are dealing with bereavement will have dealt with. And so they were all brought together in these single characters, and you know, it's just a way for people to connect with and deal with these real issues that they have to deal with.
Mm-hmm. Okay, our guest today is Rabbi Avram Plotkin. He's written a book called Seven Conversations with Jerry, a book about the human soul, bereavement, and the afterlife. Okay, so what was your impetus behind the whole writing of this book, other than the fact that it needed to be written? But I think every rabbi has to deal with bereavement issues. That's like par for the course. But you felt it was necessary that this had to be put down to paper, Rabbi Plotkin.
Because you know, as much as a rabbi can possibly tell someone at a shiva house or throughout the year or even the year thereafter about how to connect with their parents or reconnect with their parents, as much as we possibly can tell our congregants, it's not enough. And the best thing is for them to be able to sit down alone at home and open up a book and read it slowly and digest it. Now, initially I wrote the book with just the ideas about the afterlife, about the soul, about the personality of the soul. Where does the soul go to? What does Judaism believe about heaven and hell? And all these ideas, I wrote them. And I wrote them in a very, very organized fashion. And when I finished all of this information and I wrote it down, I said to myself, boring. It's still boring. You know, people are going to read a little bit at a time, but they're not going to be excited about it. So I revamped the entire book from beginning to end, and I wrote it in a story form. I wrote it as a novel, and I wrote it as an exchange, and I was able through that to bring issues of guilt between the characters, of struggle, and the book, because it's written as a novel, turns out to be engaging. It sucks you right into it. Most of the people that have read it so far have told me they read it in one session or two sessions. They just couldn't put the book down, and they had to like finish it from beginning to end. So what happens is that when they finish, they say, wow, now we have the information. We could have never read it if it was just written as dry facts. Now that it's written as a story, everybody loves a story. That's just the way it is.
And it is. It's an easy read, but it's not easy concepts. And you did a very good job of conveying these very deep ideas in a very palatable format, Rabbi Plotkin. Thank you so much for doing that. So you finished the book. How long ago did you finish the writing Seven Conversations with Jerry?
I'm a full-time rabbi. So, you know, I work for a living, so I'm not like an author that sits down and writes a book throughout the course of the year. This book was probably written over a period of 10 to 20 years, the information. I mean, I wrapped it up about a year ago, you know, it's about a year or two ago I finished it.
Yes, I was very, very, very moved by your your dedication at the beginning of the book, because it seems as soon as you got through writing the book, you yourself lost a loved one. So how everything's a shocha process, everything's divine providence. So how did you tie that all in with the death of your son and seven conversations with Jerry?
You know, they say Hashem creates the cure before the illness, right? He creates the vaccine before the COVID. So, you know, like in a way, in an indirect way, you know, Hashem was giving me, you know, the opportunity to think about these ideas way in advance and to be prepared for a great tragedy that I was going to experience together with my wife and the whole family. We lost our son, Zalmi, who was a special needs young man. He was 14 years old, and it was real, real tragic. And nothing in the book can really, you know, heal completely a broken heart, but it can give us a little bit like ointment, a little bit, you know, something to help us a little bit get through. And so it was very ironic that my own writings, one day I opened up my writings after I lost Zalmi and I'm reading it, I'm saying, you know, I thought I was writing it for other people, but Hashem made me write the book for myself. And I became, you know, a recipient of the knowledge of this rabbi that put all these things together from the Rebbe, from all Chassidus. And I, you know, I distilled it and put it all together. And here I was able to help myself.
That is actually fascinating. It's very, very moving to that. So you had written it, but now looking at it from a different perspective, instead of looking at it as the expression is the mashpia, the one who is trying to guide somebody, rather now you're looked at your own writing as the makabel, as the one who's trying to find help from the book. Did it help?
Broken heart is never fixed. Someone loses someone that they love. You could never really. There's always a scar. There's always an open wound. But we need friends and family and wise rabbis to give us the best information to help us get by. And so far, the people that have read this book, you know, many people have come to me and said, you know, why didn't you write this book years ago? It's really helping us a lot. And to me, that's the biggest nachas. The biggest nachas is when you can help another fellow yid, another fellow human being. You can help. That's what better thing? What greater pleasure is there than hearing those words? You know?
Indeed. Okay. So one of the things that really caught my eye. In this, of course, there are seven conversations. We're not going to go through all seven. I'm just going to say, like, just generally about the soul. Do souls keep their personality afterwards? What's the deal of heaven? Why do people suffer? Does the soul suffer into when it's going through to the next life? What does the soul leave afterwards? The chapter I want to focus on is communicating. And this is what we're going to talk about right now, is can we communicate with the dead? This has been something which has intrigued people as long as there have been people. And there are prohibitions, for example, in the Torah about not going to necromancers to try to conjure up the dead and not having seances and not doing various types of witchcraft that involves communicating with the dead. So it would seem that, I mean, the premise is if we're prohibited to do it, it must be that there's a possibility. So, but what's your take on communicating with people who have passed away, Rabbi Avram Plotkin?
You know, as Jews, we're guided by the code of Jewish law. And if you look at the code, you'll see there are some different opinions on it. But what's been accepted within the Jewish community as a guide to this whole thing is that you can go and ask the dead to be what's called a guter better, a good advocate on behalf, our behalf. We believe that God is ultimately the one that controls our destiny. We only pray to God. But we can invoke, we can bring in those people that loved us, great rabbeim, great tzaddikim, but even family members. We can go to them, whether it's a cemetery or in any other way, and ask them to go up high and advocate our case. There's no one better than a relative, a parent, a father, a mother who loved us their whole life. In their life, u'b'maisim lo nifradu. You know, Rachel, it says she cries for her children. When we go to Kevet Rachel, what are we doing there, right? Rachel is the mother. So she's the mother of all mothers. She is the matriarch of the Jewish people. But we ask her to cry for on our behalf, to continue to be the mother that she always was. Love never stops. A soul that loved us all these years continues to love us in the posthumous state too. We love them and they love us back. So there is communication to that. The Babaji Rebbe spoke to many people that came to visit him at Shiva and all that. He said that there's something that can never be taken away from you is the love of your parent to you. You know, and they continue to love you. So if you can tap into that love and tap into that advocate up high, it's a very powerful thing. And we know that as Jews, we believe that at Yisker, there's prayers throughout the year. We would think of our parents. It's not just remembering our parents. You know, in the mystical tradition, the parents come down and they come to us and they connect to us or reconnect with us. And the same thing is at the cemetery. The cemetery is a very powerful place. You know, the Lubavitcher Rebbe used to spend, obviously, it was with the Friedrich Rebbe, used to spend, you know, thousands of hours there, communicating with his father-in-law. Obviously, we're talking about leaders of the Jewish people. It's a different thing. But I believe that applies to all of us to some degree. And so we continue to have that intimate relationship with people that we've been close with before. The Talmud speaks about the Rebbe, Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi. He used to come every Friday night to his family to make kiddush in the house. In a spirit form. Some say it was even more than a spirit form, but he came and he was present with his family. So connections always remain. Yes, we don't pray to the dead. We don't speak to them in that kind of manner, but as a good or better, as a good advocate, and continuing the love and the relationships. Soulmates, for instance, is another great example. If you're a soulmate of someone, that person dies, your soul is still connected to your soulmate. You can't stop being connected to them. And your same thing is with all family members. All family members continue their connection and relationship in the posthumous state, forever and ever, till the coming of Mashiach.
Good. Our guest again today is Rabbi Avram Plotkin. He has written a book, Seven Conversations with Jerry, a book about human soul bereavement and afterlife. So my next question is, it's twofold. I've had this situation happen to me in the many years that I've been a rabbi, and I'm sure every rabbi has gotten this. Somebody has passed away, a loved one has passed away, and the person comes and says, I can't get over it. I really miss this person. This person is like, was so much part of my life. And I just, the gap is too much and I can't get over it. What do you have from Pluck and say to such a person like this?
That's the way God created us. And that's meant to be that way. They shouldn't look at that as a fault or as a weakness, but they should harness that feeling into positive strength. What I mean is, you know, to continue, you know, we believe as Jews that it's a continuous story. It's not a one-time thing, a person lives and dies and they're gone. No. The life continues from generation to generation. And all the actors of the past generations are still there. They're just cheering us on. And we can heal ourselves by keeping our parents alive through living their legacy and continuing to build on what they've done before, not to make their lives be in waste, but to the contrary, by continuing where they left off, we are strengthening their existence, their past existence, their present existence, and we that way continue that connection. So this is an important part of the whole story is to realize that when you feel you just can't get that person out of your mind, it's not a bad thing. They should be there, but to be there, your guide, your guardian angel, your director in life, takes them along with you wherever you go. But not in a sad, destructive, self-destructive way. No, that's not good. But to use them as something to springboard, to catapult us to greater heights, always wanting to make our family parents proud, of us, and always keeping them close to us and dear to us. And that's, in that way, I believe, it can continue as a positive experience and not the opposite.
Okay. Have you ever had anybody come? This has happened to me, as I'm asking, how you might have dealt with it. Is that someone comes and says, I'm having regular conversations now with my departed loved one. They come to me all the time and we just talk.
Not much talking, but you have many people who say, they saw their father and mother in the closet or in the dream or in their, that is a quite common experience. Most people won't admit to that, but it's real. And the reason for it is because their spirit is still there and they're not leaving us. All right. They say your mother carried you for 9 months, and then she nursed you for another few years, and then she coached you for the rest of your life. She's not leaving you in the afterlife, so they're still, souls are close to us, and that's not abnormal. It's very normal. Most people won't admit to it, but the reason is because, like I say, it's an ongoing story that's unfolding, and it's important to remain close to them, but not okay. When you're talking to a parent, about the sports scores and about just nonsensical things, that's not what we're talking about. We're talking here about a mission.
That's beautiful. That's beautiful. Okay, so I ask this question to pretty much every author. So someone has experienced bereavement. They're in a bereaved state. They're grieving. And they've gotten a hold of Seven Conversations with Jerry, a book about the human soul, bereavement, and the afterlife, written by Rabbi Avram Plotkin. What do you, Rabbi Plotkin, want them to come away with when they're done with Seven Conversations with Jerry? In other words, what would be a successful response to Seven Conversations with Jerry?
Part of being happy in the course of bereavement is finding ways to continue to connect and reconnect to our loved ones. But most important, and that's what the book basically, it boils down to the difference between surviving a tragedy or surviving challenges in life or thriving afterwards. This is what the goal of my book is, to help people not just survive the wounds and the challenges and difficulties that we have in life, but I would like to see anybody pick up this book and find a way to thrive in life and to by realizing that the soul is an indestructible thing, and every soul is part of a, every soul has a mission and a purpose, and we're part of that big picture, and giving people an idea of what that big picture is, and the suffering that you go through in life is just a blip in that whole big picture. And ultimately, I want to give people tools to be able to turn around these challenges in life and come out at the end like Jerry does in this book. You'll see later on, he's able to reconcile with his father. He's able to rebuild his relationship. And not only that, he turns around the tragedy as the surprise at the end of the book is what he does for his father's memory. And through that, he connects to him in a most, most meaningful way, in a way that's good for himself and good for the entire world. So I guess that's more or less it.
That's wonderful. That's going to wrap us up. Okay, that's going to wrap it up for this segment. Again, the book is Seven Conversations with Jerry, a book about the human soul, bereavement, and afterlife. The author, Rabbi Avram E. Plotkin. Published by Ufarasta Press, available wherever fine Jewish books can be procured. We want to thank you so much for coming in and elucidating, and really, this has been really wonderful, Rabbi Plotkin.
Of Herschel family, we go back a long way, all the way back to Yeshiva Morristown, I believe. So nice to see you. To hear from you.
Yeah, pleasure. Yeah, the pleasure is ours. Okay. That's going to do it. We're going to take a quick commercial break and we'll be right back. You're listening to the Jewish Hour.
Why go to a hospital to get healthy? At Encompass Healthcare, you get the state-of-the-art wound care like in a hospital. The same medicines, the same everything without being in a hospital. Why put yourself at risk of getting a hospital-borne infection? Did you know that last year, 1 in 6 people died in America because of infections they got in hospitals? Encompass Healthcare is an outpatient facility. That means you get your wound care treatment and then go home. There are no wait times at Encompass Healthcare like in ERs. Healthcare is personal and works better, faster, and easier. Encompass Healthcare provides a state-of-the-art outpatient facility close to where you live. Call 248-624-9800. That's 624-9800. Auto accident, workman's comp, and most insurance is accepted. Encompass Healthcare's goal is to get you healthy with as little disturbance to your daily activities. Call 248-624-9800.
Hey, Herschel Finman here. You're listening to the Jewish Hour. Up next, for your listening pleasure, this is brand new. The artist is Yitzchok Ginsburg. I probably know about a dozen people named Yitzchok Ginsburg. This is a very young man. Most of the Yitzchok Ginsburgs I know are older. And this is called Dance with Joy.
zaman zamanai che yudam samaya kusom bekalo he's a khelakha mishukhlo afon zaman 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 afon zaman 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 che yudam samaya kusom bekalo he's a khelakha mishukhlo
Assurance of quality and excellence in kosher? Look for the Michigan K on the label. What's it look like? The Lower Peninsula of Michigan with a K. It's the symbol of the Michigan Kosher Supervisors. Go to their website, mikosup.com. That's M-I for Michigan, K-O for kosher, and S-U-P for supervisors, mikosup.com, and find this month's featured products. You'll find Michigan K products wherever fine food is sold, especially at Natural Food Patch on West 9 Mile Road in Ferndale.
Herschel Thinman here. You're listening to The Jewish Hour. You know how I love finding music that's sort of like unusual, especially fusion pieces. So this piece is a Cuban jazz klezmer ensemble. In fact, they're called the Cuban Jazz Klezmer Ensemble. And what they're playing is Cuban jazz klezmer. So let's listen.
Thank you.
We all know there's an opiate epidemic, but Advanced Rapid Detox has a solution for people addicted to pain pills, heroin, and dependent on Suboxone and methadone. Advanced Rapid Detox performs detox under sedation in the hospital. Patients sleep through withdrawals and wake up without cravings. Dr. Julia Aronoff and the staff at Advanced Rapid Detox help people restore their lives and the lives of their families. Addiction affects everyone, even in the Jewish community, and Advanced Rapid Detox is there to help. Call 800-603-1813. That's 800-603-1813, or visit them online at www.advancedrapiddetox.com.
Herschel Finman here. You're listening to The Jewish Hour. Up next, it's the Moscow Klezmer Band, and this is called Yiddish Music.
Why go to a hospital to get healthy? At Encompass Healthcare, you get the state-of-the-art wound care like in a hospital. The same medicines, the same everything without being in a hospital. Why put yourself at risk of getting a hospital-borne infection? Did you know that last year, 1 in 6 people died in America because of infections they got in hospitals? Encompass Healthcare is an outpatient facility. That means you get your wound care treatment and then go home. There are no wait times at Encompass Healthcare like in ERs. Healthcare is personal and works better, faster, and easier. Encompass Healthcare provides a state-of-the-art outpatient facility close to where you live. Call 248-624-9800. That's 624-9800. Auto accident, workman's comp, and most insurance is accepted. Encompass Healthcare's goal is to get you healthy with as little disturbance to your daily activities. Call 248-624-9800.
Meyer Schulterman here. You're listening to The Jewish Hour. This week is the portion of Bo. And in it, there are three plagues. Last week, there were seven. This week, there are three, including the plague of the firstborn, which is the last one, which caused the imminent exodus from Egypt. And the portion ends with the Jews making it all the way to the Red Sea. There are two, three verses that are dedicated to what is referred to as the first commandment that the Jews are commanded. Not necessarily it's the most important per se, because we're not going to weigh importance of commandments, but it's the first one that's mentioned. And that is the commandment of sanctifying the moon. Rashi, the classic biblical commentary, says right at the beginning of the book of Genesis, oh, wouldn't it have been proper to start the book of the five books of Moses with the commandment of sanctifying the moon? Because after all, isn't the Torah not a book of commandments? And he answers there, no, it's not a book of commandments. It's a book of lessons. And there's lessons that are learned from the stories. And we've been talking about those for 25 years, the lessons that are learned from the stories of Genesis, even though there are no commandments. But let's analyze this one. Why is this mentioned as to being the first one? Well, it's very simple. When you know what day is the first day of the month, the Jewish calendar is based on the lunar cycle, which is 29 and a half days. And there's all different ways of calculating and figuring out and trying to see when is the first day of the month. But when you know when the first day of the month is, so then you could figure out when the 15th day of the month is, and especially in months like the month of Nisan, which is the month that the holiday of Passover falls. And so it's crucial to know when day one is so that you can know when day 15 is. Like, that would even be like, duh. Okay, but let's look at it this way. Let's look at it in a little deeper way. It says that the Jews are compared to the moon. Just as the moon has cycles of waxing and waning, of fullness and newness, and right before the full moon, the moon disappears entirely. And it's just a couple of minutes that there you don't see any moon at all, because it goes from like a waxing given to a waning. It's just a couple of minutes from one sliver on one side of the moon to the other. So the Jewish people, whenever things have gotten to seem what look like really bleak and black, there's always been a turnaround. There's always been something else that comes afterwards. And this we were promised, even already in the Bible, by the prophets of Isaiah and Jeremiah, Zechariah, probably, if you look at it closely, probably all the prophets, probably the whole Bible, is anticipating and telling us that there's going to be down, but there's always up that comes afterwards. And so the Almighty could have put all kinds of things first before this, it wouldn't, because there is no chronology in the Bible, but put this in and as picked out, selected, this commandment of the dedicating of the new moon to be first, to let us know that next month there's going to be a full moon. And was it five or six out of the 12 full moons? There's some kind of Jewish holiday there. So there's always something to be preparing for, something to look forward to, something to achieve a higher goal for. Ultimately, it says that with the coming of the advent of the Messiah, of the Mashiach, it says that the moon will shine like the sun. It won't have a waxing and a waning cycle anymore. And indeed, the world will be in a state of perfection. And, well, at that time, it says that there won't be the holidays of Passover and Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, etc. And we've talked about those before. There'll be just a constant state of even more than that. It'll be like sunshine, not even like a full moon. And that's what we're waiting for. Speaking of waiting for, we got to take a quick commercial break, and we'll be right back because we're waiting to get to that Hasidic story. Don't go away. You're listening to The Jewish Hour.
Hi, this is Spex Howard. The Spex Howard School of Media Arts is proud to have been a sponsor of The Jewish Hour and bring quality radio programming to the community. While much of the funding comes from its sponsors, listeners like you help keep The Jewish Hour on the air. Please send your tax-deductible donation to The Jewish Hour, 1725 Pinecrest Drive, Ferndale, Michigan, 48220. That's 1725 Pinecrest Drive, Ferndale, Michigan, 48220. Your help is greatly appreciated. Thank you very much.
Herschel Finman here. You're listening to The Jewish Hour. Want to get in touch with me? Best way? Right on the homepage, you have a way of contacting me. I contact you, and everything's good. Any type, anything that you're interested in, that's fine. It's good for me. What else is on RabbiFinman.com? We've got archived editions of the show. We've got archived editions of other ways in which we present Judaism in an informative and entertaining way. And we also have a donation page, but you know, thank God for January, we don't have to talk about it because January was paid. So go to RabbiFinman.com, peruse around, enjoy yourself, have a party, as we say, especially if you really want to get into 200 hours of The Jewish Hour. Yes. Let me know how that goes for you. Story this week. If you're listening to the story on Sunday, or if you're listening to the show on Sunday, so today is the 4th of Shavuot, is the day of the passing of the Baba Sali. It's the Yom Elula of the great Rabbi Yisrael Abu Chatzera. Passed away in 1984. He was the leader of the Moroccan community, at first in Morocco, and then they moved to southern Israel. He was a very special person. He was a very strict person. He didn't take anything from anybody. I mean, not as far as not gifts, that's what we're talking about, but any type of attitude, nope, he didn't put up for it whatsoever. And here's a story that exemplifies that. And he did it with such a strength, such a spine, such a backbone. There was for a while he'd been living in a smaller city in Morocco. He was the rabbi in the city. It's when he was a very young man, having probably just gotten ordained. It's probably his first position. He comes from an illustrious family of scholars. The Abu Chatzeras go back hundreds of years. There was the one landowner who was sort of like the rich person in charge, who was like basically the economy of the city. He was an anti-Semite. And he had all kinds of things that he would do against the Jews. There was one rich person who lived in the city. I'm not sure there are more than one person, but one of the rich people who lived in the city decided what they're going to do is they're going to try and butter him up, make him feel good about the Jewish people, and maybe then he won't be so terrible to him. And what did they do? They're going to make a party in his honor. And this was the deal. So they made a party in his honor. And they had like the most lavish food, and it was like one terrific entertainment. And there were speeches lauding what a wonderful person this anti-Semite was, really buttering him up. Finally, the rabbi showed up, the Baba Sali. And he saw what was going on, and he banged his walking stick on the ground several times. Bang, bang, bang. And had like a really strong look on his face, really intense. And he was looking like right into the eyes of this this meanie. And he told him all the things that he was doing wrong. And as he was telling, he was getting louder and louder. And the people were like, oh no, what's going to be? He could like, he could have him arrested. It's like, what is he doing? When the Baba Sali got done, this man apologized and said, Rabbi, I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to cause anybody any harm. I will do better in the future. And indeed, he did. And the relationship between that anti-Semite was is that he wasn't so much of an anti-Semite, or he didn't show his anti-Semitism so much. He took care of the people in his city. That's going to do it for us. We hope we had a chance to entertain you a bit. We hope you had a chance to educate you a bit. We hope you have a great week. We hope to see you back again next week. Take care.